Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So this next interview was an absolute delight for me, and the film as well, The Happiest Day in the Life of Ali Mackie. And I'm speaking today with Juho, the director, and Jarkko, the main actor. A Finnish film, a film that you're going to fall in love with. It's remarkable on so many levels. We talk about primarily about the film, I guess. I mean, you know, the backdrop is boxing. It's wonderful imagery, beautiful metaphor, and so on. But it really is a love story. It's about being home. That's been definitely a theme at the Toronto International Film Festival. And there's certainly other issues that are going on, this notion of public and private, and about sports, and about a metaphor in general, really, in how boxing is a violent sport, but in some respects has also such a, as Jarkko would say, it's such a metaphor for life and for so many things. So check it out. You're going to love the film. You really are. It's going to get noticed, in my opinion, by many. And you're going to enjoy this film. DavidPeckLive.com for more information on podcasts. Rabble.ca, you'll find more there. And this, I think, is number 11 or 12 of my series in the Toronto International Film Festival this year. And here we go with The Happiest Day in the Life of Ali Mackie. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by two very special guests here today at the Toronto International Film Festival. I think this is about interview 11 for me, believe it or not. So it's about only 26 more to go. It's it's been a bit of a crazy festival, but I'm delighted you guys are joining me here today in Toronto at the Soho Hotel. We've got Juho here and Jarkko. I hope I got the pronunciation sort of close.
It was close enough.
Close enough, yeah. Yes, yeah. Do you want to tell us your full name so that I avoid my embarrassment?
Okay, so my name is Juho Kuosmanen.
And you're the director,
I'm
writer?
I'm the director, yeah, and writer.
And pretty much everything else?
Yes, I was involved with everything.
Did a little bit of electrical work on the set, no doubt?
Yeah. And actually, we were shooting it in my apartment, so we had to do also some cleaning after the shooting.
Some location work as well.
Yes.
Nice, I like it.
And I'm Jarkko Lahti, the protagonist of the film.
So, first of all, congratulations. I just recently saw the film, I have to say, absolutely delightful. Honestly, without a doubt, one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen. Absolutely.
That's nice to hear.
I'm telling you, it's already been quite well noticed. You won an award. Tell us about the award.
The
Cannes. At Cannes.
Yes, the Uncertain Regard.
And how did that all pan out for you? Was there lots of drinking and carousing after the award?
I think that
you can admit we're in North America.
Yes. Well, we had a very, very long premiere parties, but then after the award, I think we were already a bit exhausted of this. Like we stayed there 1.5 weeks.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
So yeah,
it's a lot of food, a lot of shaking of hands, a lot of alcohol. I would imagine it gets a little much, right? Eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like everything was a bit too much.
Do you find that kind of stuff as a filmmaker and an artist? Do you find that kind of stuff a little bit over the top, kind of almost drudgery in a way? Just got to do it because that's part of the business.
Yes, I mean it's nice, but it's now we've been traveling quite a lot with this one, so it's
kind of like your character in a way.
Yeah, you know, this is a film that never stops. There's no end for a film. Because immediately you walk out from the cinema, it just continues to go on and on. You know,
photo shootings and eating in two fancy restaurants and
yes.
So we are living these scenes again.
You're breaking my heart now. Yeah.
Exactly. It's
just too many fancy restaurants. So the happiest day in the life of Ollie Mackie, it's really not about boxing at all.
No.
Not about boxing at all. Can we start with my favorite quote from the film?
Yeah.
The manager, your Ollie's manager, says, you know, quote, it's a shitty time to fall in love, close quote. Yes. We're about, I don't know what, 45 minutes into the story, 35 minutes into the story, realizing that your character's quite distracted, to say the least.
Yeah.
Why use boxing to tell a love story?
What?
Why use boxing to tell such a lovely, beautiful, heartwarming love story?
Well, it's based on true characters, so we didn't want to change the history. So, and I think for me, in the first place, when I got this idea, like, okay, I want to make film out of Ollie Mackie, like a portrait. It's not the biopic, but I think it's more like a portrait.
Mm.
And I think I was more afraid to this boxing genre than fascinated about it. And but then I thought, okay, it's actually, because there is so many boxing films, it's actually something that you can play with. I mean,
right.
And they are also making a boxing film in our film, this documentary crew. And
that's right, film within a film.
Yeah.
It's almost the genre in a way, isn't it? The boxing film.
Yeah. And we are like the opposite. I think that was kind of funny setup.
I don't like boxing.
Yeah.
Do either of you really like boxing?
Yes, I'm a huge fan of boxing.
And you actually worked, I mean, you rehearsed, practiced. Well, you've been
4.5 years for the role, and took two. I went competing twice.
Oh, okay.
To the lightweight, and I love it.
Oh, is that right? Eh?
Yeah.
And what do you love about it? Do you love the? Is it?
Well,
is
it's
it,
for me. It's like, it's the metaphor of life. It's kind of a, you know, it's so kind of naked kind of sport where just two guys or two girls like end up. Measuring their strengths against each other in a controlled manner. Anyway, it's not a violence, you know. I don't like violence, you know, and boxing, in my opinion, has nothing to do with violence. It's about respecting. It's about respecting yourself, respecting the hard work, training, respecting the opponent and the ring and the coach and whatever. So it's on many levels at the same time, like teaching yourself to respect things and take out from your body and your psyche like everything that there is. It's like being an artist, you know, trying to develop all the time.
Incredible amount of focus and discipline and passion.
Yeah, exactly. So, and for me, boxing is, I'm not like a, of course, it's good to say that I'm not any high profile boxer, but still, you know, I can understand what is it about. I mean, and I don't know. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a really interesting take on it. It's not that I disagree with you. I've never been drawn to it. Mm. I've always found it, and maybe it's because of some of the films I've seen. I've always found it to be this kind of vicious, violent kind of way of I don't know, exploiting two really good looking and strong guys or women.
I have to admit that can be the case.
Well, it certainly comes out in the film too, right? Yeah. I mean, that exploitation and that great shot of Ollie looking at the poster of the
becoming champ.
The lifestyle advertisement, when they put him on the stool, it's so wonderful. It's just such a great moment, right? Talking about exploitation.
Yeah. And it's what was I thinking? You can see I'm very tired already.
Yes, so it's all the partying.
It has been quite a lot.
Oh, I'm sure it's been exhausting.
For me, I think the moment when I gave myself I'm allowed to like boxing, to watching boxing.
Right.
I think that almost happened to me that when I was watching like boxing films, a lot of them, I didn't like the image of this. Male characters or these images of heroes and but then I read this book called On Boxing by Joyce Carol Oates, and I think that really changed my view on boxing. Like, I'm allowed to like this.
Yeah.
And I think she's a boxing fan, like very very hardcore boxing fan.
The way clearly the film is about boxing in a sense. I mean, it's what the story's about. It's about this match, this world sort of famous match in a sense. Certainly, for the time and for the country, it was a pretty big deal. And yet, on a certain level, I didn't quite realize until the end, everyone kind of expected your character, Ollie, to lose in a way, didn't they? Like, it was really weird to me that whole dynamic of all this prep, and even your comment, well, at least I lose to somebody who's actually a good fighter.
Is Ollie's real life.
That is real words.
He said it's it in words. One interview.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's very...
Fabulous.
Yeah, it's kind of... gives a... kind of a good picture of this guy, the real Olli Mäkiä, I mean, that he's kind of a, he's a passionate boxer, but at the same time, he's like a totally aware what's important in life, like all the time.
Mm. Mm.
So for him, I believe, boxing was always a play or like a game, like a kid's play. I mean, so he's like delighted to show what he got. And learn about himself more and more and whatever. But at the same time, it's only a play. It's only a game.
It's only a game.
Yeah, come on. It's not like, you can't take yourself too seriously in a way.
Well, he was clearly, and this is for sure, I would imagine, pretty intentional. He was so much more interested in the little things.
Yeah.
The little things, right?
Yeah,
conversation, falling in love. I mean, the scenes with the riding of the bicycles are just so delightful, showing, how they're kind of becoming so affectionate towards one another, and yet that's what he really wants to be doing, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the sauna. I don't want to be practicing.
Yeah. I think it was that under that pressure, he really, what he finds in a way, it's the lightness, the playfulness of life and the beauty of life again, and I think that's something that for me what I liked this real Olli Mäki, why I can consider him as a hero for me. I think that's something that even though there was huge pressure, everybody was waiting, like it was high expectations.
Absolutely.
For him, and still under this kind of situation, he can hold on to what he thought was important in life.
Yeah,
and it's
he's capable of like defining himself.
Yeah,
not to let the outsiders define him.
Well, I gotta say, for me, I almost brought a tear to my eye. In fact, probably did actually. I'll admit it. When he says to Raya that, what if I fail? Mm. What if I disappoint? What if I disappoint you?
Mm.
And then her response is so great. Well, that's pretty much their problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with who you are. Yeah, oh, yeah. And by the way, I love you either way.
Yeah.
Which is just, right? I mean, if this isn't the stuff of life, I don't know what is.
Yeah,
yeah, because that's something I think when we think about sport heroes, we do not know them. We know just
right.
We are like, they are our, what do you call it? I mean, they're like, what you use in a game to
yeah
to
game play. Pieces yeah
game
yeah.
pieces
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Sure
and
we manipulate and exploit right
yeah and I think that can be like very very cruel because then you are like there's this image of boxing hero and then you have to act like people are hoping and wanting you to act. It's not like you're not allowed to be yourself.
Yeah, it's a tiny norm in a way.
Yes,
it's behave.
Yeah, if you are considered as a hero, then you have to be as a be hero. Otherwise, you are like just disappointed.
There was a profound, to me, sense of humility in the way you portray his character, and maybe that's partially something about who you are as a as a person, a human as well, but a human being as well. but you were very clearly conscious of the shots you show us of his sort of his weakness, his inabilities, his fears, his insecurities, falling over in the shower. This is maybe not the guy who should be doing this match. Maybe he should be a baker, right? After all, or a fisherman.
Well, I have
you humanized him in a way that was so brilliant.
Yeah, well, that was something that we talked about all the way.
I bet.
There is this public image and then the intimate life. And
it's good.
And they are not like all the time, like easy to fit on each other. It can be really, really kind of a really hard. And scenes like that to fall or whatever, it's something just for like for the spectator's eyes, but not for the public eyes, for the character in a fiction,
Right, right.
So in a way, it's relieving for me, at least as a human being, to as a spectator of the film now, to have a chance to look at someone's life just like, okay, thank God, it's relieving you to fall down, or you know, it's kind of a, then I'm allowed to, I can allow myself all the mistakes that
I've
made of,
Yes, yeah.
So it's important.
Did I read somewhere, Yehoah, that you said in an interview you weren't really interested on the surface, you wanted to go backstage. You were far more interested in what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. I think that's something that is almost in every scene of the film. There's always like this public image versus the inner feelings, and I think that's part of the comedy element that we are having in most of the scenes. And yeah, I'm always, I think, it's much more interesting to see the backstage than the what has been built on the real stage.
You're trained in theater to some degree, right? Your theatrical background is that.
Yes.
So are you more? Is it better for you? Is it more engaging for you when the curtains are closed and you're behind?
Well, I think
there's
always
energy there, right?
Yeah. There's like there's much more. Comedy in the backstage.
Oh. It's the real life too.
It's the real
it?
Life, and it's I think it's and it was very something that I was very interested in this and also in boxing. When I went to see boxing, I these weighing events and photo shootings. It was nice to see that. The pictures that they take before the fight, and these guys like really
pushing
each other, and then after this is done, they're like shaking hands. So that's the advertise
selling.
And yeah, that's how we sell things, but that's not the whole truth.
Was the 16mm black and white decision, was that entirely to set the tone from a period perspective, from a timing perspective, or did you have other ideas in mind as well?
No, we've shot all our films on 16 mm meter, and then and we tested lots of different film stocks. We tested also 8mm, and
oh, is that right?
And yeah, just to get like the feeling what does this like different film textures bring to the image. And so it was not like how does it look, it was more like how does it feel, like the real texture of the film. And I think our references were more like early 60s documentaries,
right.
The direct cinema stuff. And we chose to this black and white, it was I think 2 months before the shootings. So it was it was quite
a last minute decision.
And you can imagine our producer like, what the fuck? I mean, we were still waiting the German big TV company to make the pre-buy, and then we had to say like, and by the way, it's black and white.
And I also read too that you didn't get dailies, you got like bi-weeklies or something,
yes.
Right? And so
yeah,
you didn't even really see what you had shot for several weeks. And
from the first day of shooting, it took 2.5 weeks to get the first dailies or weeklies. Like, it was terrible. Of course, we had tested the material,
so we
knew what we were doing, but still, it's always.
Can I ask you a question about the directing of actors? I mean, I can't believe the beauty of the performances and the continuity. Right from the get-go, the kids in the car, I knew that I was going to be seeing a film with dynamite performances. You guys do a lot of rehearsing. Is that your theater? Is that your, you don't strike me as a overbearing kind of director on the set. How do you get that kind of performance out of these guys?
By torturing.
Yes. we've been knowing each other a long time, so I think the communication between us is very easy. We don't have to. I don't have to explain, and I mean, they get what I'm thinking. Like,
seems like you probably built quite a community on the set.
Yes, it's an ensemble work. Also, the DOP is this is our 7th film. I mean, the other ones were short, but still, and I think there's his work is extremely important also from the actor's view. I mean, how he watches, how he gives freedom to the movement. We are not improvising on the set, but and we are making a long shot.
It's just such a joyful, delightful energy in the whole film, and the way it plays out. It's really quite remarkable. I want to ask you about one of my favorite scenes. So many favorite scenes, by the way. And again, congratulations on such a brilliant film. In the church.
Yeah.
It was hysterical. They were sitting near the front row. They all start chatting about your weight, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
And as you cut away, do I hear the last line of 1 Corinthians 13? The priest is...
Yeah.
Yeah. From that whole passage on love.
Yeah.
In the New Testament.
That's
it's beautiful.
Yeah. I think that's the one of the messages of this film.
Of the whole film.
Yeah. You couldn't put it more clearly.
Yeah.
Like,
but it was so well done. How the one started and then the other started. There, by the time we were done, there were 5 of you chatting. Wasn't there? About your weight in the middle of a church service. It was fabulous.
Yeah, and that
was awesome.
That's my experience from my like countrymen. You know how we behave. We're like, we try to be these adult men.
Yep.
But we fail constantly because we are just like small kids, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
we really try to have this kind of a responsible to, you know, in life. And in that we don't always fail. But still, you know, it's in every level, it's about play. And like Juho said, about love. And I have to go back to the one question before about the communication in a set, about directing actor in this one. It's also about trust. It's about trust and it's about love. If you really care about each other, you really care about, then you want to understand. You know, you really want to understand, and you like start really listening together. What are we creating? It becomes much more important, you know, than just working.
Mm.
and you know, and the experience, similar experience with the JP Passi, DOP is also this. He's shooting with the cameras, and at the same time, I feel that he loves, you know, he's like, he loves us, you know, through the camera, and then you are free, then you are free. I feel like, okay, now I'm accepted. I can, it's totally okay. Everything's okay. I'm safe, and you know.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, there's a sense where I got, Ollie was always trying to get back home in a way. There was this, you know, what if you don't love me? What if I fail?
Yeah.
You know, the scene where he's out and he finds the kite in the trees. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I mean, I don't know if that was right from his story or not, but it's talk about play and love and just going, I just want to be here. I want to be present.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I want to love this woman.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important moment because he's also alone. So it's not just about the love between Olli and Raija, but it's like about the love for the life and yeah, to find the playfulness and the enjoy of life again.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a very important scene for us. Actually, we skipped our lunch because we wanted to. Then we were shooting this scene in
the kite scene.
Yeah, we did it with a very very small crew. We stayed 2 or 3 days in this place, so we could we had a possibility to wait the perfect sun and.
I'm glad you missed your lunch.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We were like
seriously,
the lunch was just ready, and then now it's sunny. Okay, let's go, and then we ate. Cold pasta, but I think it was quite okay.
Yeah. You know what's so brilliant to me about a narrative film like this is, and you know, okay, let's make this film about Ollie. It's going to be historical, little docudrama like black and you know, make all these decisions, and you don't necessarily have the intentions of what finally goes up on screen once the edit. You know, it's such a brilliant collaborative artwork form in my mind, but the messages that are communicated, the things that come out just in such subtle, beautiful ways.
That's
your film is just evidence of that right through and through.
Yeah, that's something that we are, of course, very, very glad that it seems to communicate with the audience like very clearly.
Oh.
And even though, I mean, the drama is quite flat, it's not like nobody dies or anything, it's like, it's about very small details.
But it's about life.
Yes.
This is what life is, and it might be. Drama might be flat, but the people aren't.
Yeah, and
the humanity that comes out is just, it's so compelling and engaging from the first frame.
Yeah, and the characters are. So if you fall in love with them, so
yes.
I think it's easy to live with this film, and then I'm very happy that communicates much better now than it was communicating with the script.
Right.
Because
right.
When we were writing, it was like, this is, is this enough?
Is it enough? Right.
And yeah.
And so the phrase, the title of the film is right out of what happened, and that was the happiest day of his life. So
yeah,
therefore, let's recreate that.
Yeah, he said it, because everybody, I think most of the people, they thought, of course, that this must have been like the worst days of his life. I mean, like to lose this fight again, like in front of fully packed stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he said, like, no, it was actually the happiest day of my life. And that was something that I think that was the moment when I really got interested about this guy.
Yeah.
And what makes this day the happiest day? It's not just the rings. I think it's.
I don't know that it had anything to do with the rings.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
I think it's the day that we really set himself free out of the expectations of other people.
So this is where I wish we had another 45 minutes to chat, because as a philosopher, I go, this is where the film now starts to become about who we are as people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being present is going to get you to a happier day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Being present. Love your wife. Love your kids. Engage with people on the elevator, in the restaurant. And so, you know what I mean?
Like
we could really extend that based on Ollie's life and those little, the kite, right?
Yeah, it's like Zen moments.
Zen moments. Yeah. No, yeah. It's really, really beautiful. And
that scene was the only one that from the early versions of the script that I had an opinion about. That I said to Juho that this is a key to my role for me. It's a key scene with a kite because, you know, like you talked earlier, it's kind of a he's totally free with a kite in a forest just by himself, full of love, you know, getting his smile back on his face, you know.
Yeah,
that's the, like, in my opinion, that's the biggest title you can ever get. You know, you just have to understand it.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. I mean, but still, it is like that. And that's something that, you know, I in my life, I'm like rehearsing it all the time. You know, not
same.
You know,
same.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we've all got the kites dangling in the trees. Yeah. And how many times a day do we walk by them? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
courier or whatever.
Right. Exactly. You know, yeah.
Just like passing by.
So sadly, we've got to wrap it up in a minute or two. Do you have a what's next? Or are you just going to recover from what's coming with the film? And
I'm writing now too.
You getting ready to receive the Oscar? Or?
No.
Not yet?
How did Dolly say it in English? Let's fight and see.
Yeah, that's right. Let's wait and see.
I'm writing two films at the moment, and then we are shooting a silent film this winter. It's the first fiction film ever made in Finland. It was made in 1907, and this silent film festival ordered a remake out of this.
Wow!
So amazing. We are making it.
Wow, that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's
and
very
a little daunting, maybe as well, on some level.
It's. I think this kind of side projects are for me the kite.
Right.
It's it helps you to keep the playfulness and the lightness of filmmaking.
Well, I hope you get to spend plenty of time backstage on this film as well.
Yeah, we've seen lots of interesting moments backstage.
The film is The Happiest Day in the Life of Olli Mäki. I'm here with Juho and Jarkko. J&J, yes?
Yeah.
Excellent. Guys, wow. Maybe we can do part two down the road once you've accepted the Oscar. Thank you for a delightful, a beautiful, and engaging film. I really appreciate your time and your generosity today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.